Now's the time of weakness. Now's the time of blood.
Welcome to Cross Examination, the very serious interview show where we ask the most wayward stereo travelers the most important questions on the internet. We record this podcast live on the Stereo app, but we'd also like to thank our listeners on Spotify and iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Make sure to leave a review so we can continue pouring this sexy cacophony into your ears once a week. We got stuff to do. We have a podcast to run, baby. Okay.
I mean, it might be utterly, like, inconsequential to anyone else, but to us, it's almost inconsequential as well.
This is so important. Okay.
All right. I love it when you say it, Paul. I do.
I've said it four times in a row. It's time for you. But okay, I got this time, and you say it next time.
Oh, all I'll right. say it. Next time.
Welcome to Cross Examination, the most important questions on the internet. We record this podcast live on the Stereo app, but we'd also like to thank our listeners on Spotify and iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure to leave a review so we can continue pouring this sexy cacophony, symphony, that's the word, into your ears once or twice a week. With that, I'm Paul Ober.
And I'm Keith Motherfucker. Getting burned. I just censored myself because I'm a good guy.
There's no cursing on this podcast. We all converted to Jehovah's Witness. That's what they call it in the hood, you know? It's like, you know, we caught the Hova.
We got that COVID-19.
We got that COVID-19, which was the year the world was supposed to die.
We are running out the clock. I mean, we're burning the candle at all the both ends and in the middle right now.
Yeah, both candles lit in the middle.
Fuck yeah, you know it.
That's a there's not you can't light a candle in the middle.
Yeah, you can. If you have a torch, you can light anything on fire. Oh, and Drew Blue. I told you.
Who's Blue Drew?
The goat.
Yeah, the darkest one line rider that I know. He's a super, super like nice fellow with a sunny disposition. I told him he could come up until like we start interviewing Mark here. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Just listening to you two ramble on.
Trying to figure out what the hell you are.
Oh, yeah, this is just the ramblings of lunatics. You realize yes. that, right?
No, I got it.
That's why you fit in, and Drew is here. And that's why Drew's here, too. He smelled it. I didn't really tell him about any of it. That's what you get. So,
What'd you say, Drew?
I said, I'm just happy to be here.
Well, that's good. That's good. Your avatar is smiling. I can only assume that you are too, because why wouldn't you? Nobody's dying today in the whole world out of the 8 billion people, and we're just getting more overpopulated. Which, you know, every time God tries to fix it, everybody gets pissed off. We get COVID-19. It's going to decrease the numbers a bit. If I die, I take it for the team. Bam. Problem solved. Unfortunately, we got all these people getting vaccines, which is clearly not what God wants. And yeah.
This is such know, a just, sane thing to do.
If you get the vaccine,
do.
You're a sinner.
That's a good way to go with it.
I'm just a sane kid.
I don't care. I don't care what Kamala Harris says. If she says that getting the vaccine is for God. No. God made us to die for a reason. We're supposed to die. These vaccines, these health plans. If you exercise, going straight to hell. Fuck you. Exercise, people.
See, that's funny. Her name sounds like a candy bar. Carmella, what is her name?
Caramello. Caramella bar.
Except the fucking
Planet
really
Fitness is the it's the gates of hell. Planet Fitness
sounds like the number one rated WNBA player making a whopping $25,000 a year.
Oh, it's Carmelo Anthony's little sister. And the final score of 22-17.
Well, hey, before we get into the questions, then a quick topic to the reason why I just made all of that ludicrousness. Unvaccinated Americans on poll majorly say that COVID vaccines are riskier than the virus. What things are also riskier than COVID?
Condoms.
But vaccines. What are the things that are more risky than taking the COVID vaccine that people just fucking do?
Being friends with Keith.
Sure, only if you live sure, in cigarette with Keith. He's not wrong.
Being subjugated to 13 fucking posts a day from this motherfucker.
Yeah. One of them is always good.
I'm always like, oh, sweet, something cool's happened. Somebody finally saw my video. I'm going to make it. It's Keith, like, talking like fucking Morgan Freeman.
Hey, you shut the fuck up, buddy.
There he is.
Don't become too good of friends with me. I'll just like it with my 5 burner accounts.
There you go. Nice.
Well, it's better than Drew just being all deaf mute about it. Like, he just looks at it and tells you about it later. Doesn't even have the goddamn common courtesy to put a like or a smiley face on it.
See, you send it to me, and then just to piss you off, I only like it in the DMs that you sent it to me.
That is sadistic.
Speaking of that, everybody, follow our Instagrams. My Instagram, Mark's, and Keith's all have pictures of Blue Jersey butt on it, and that's the theme. So if you like one butt pick, you got to like all the butt picks. It's a running joke. Listen to the podcast. We got 4 episodes before this.
Hold up. Whose butt's on my profile? Did my photos leak onto my shit? I got to go. Hold on.
No, your photos of Blue Drew's butt did leak onto it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. All right. Cool. Now, I had a topic I wanted to bring up with you guys. What do you think of the Shikari Richardson? This whole debacle. That's the way you pronounce it. I've never heard anybody say that word in my life.
The debacle? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's not debacle.
Shikari Richardson?
No?
Yeah. Do you think she should have been disqualified?
What are we talking about with Shikari? Are you saying, like, just what's our take on it? Is it, like, a good thing that she's not in the Olympics? Is it a bad thing?
Yeah.
Do you think that she actually deserved to be disqualified or not?
Hey, man, what can I say? Black people smoke weed. Like...
Oh, Jesus. Here comes Drew.
did you wait until we had people that had, like, tanner avatars than us to bring up, to bring this up, Keith?
Yep. I'm Hispanic. I can talk about minorities. We're good here.
That's funny.
I'm bisexual. So, like, I'm engaged to a man. I can talk about...
We're covered.
Man, yeah. Mark sounds blacker than any of us. That's the fucked up thing.
That's because that's where I'm from, man.
I like it. You hear that? Where I'm from, man.
It's the East Coast, brother.
I love it. I don't know. I feel this is weird for me because I never thought that I'd be on the side of being like, yeah, you should disqualify her for smoking weed. I mean, I love weed, but I'm not an Olympic athlete. 30 days? Come on. I mean, she got some terrible news, but... isn't that what running's for? Isn't that what people that run do?
Isn't that your therapy?
Yeah, run away from your problems.
To be fair, I think she got more attention from this than she would have ever gotten for winning a gold. She definitely gained more popularity from this than anything else. People know her name. Like, how many? I know Usain Bolt. So that's the other one. Like, besides that, I can't name you another runner.
Yeah. She's 5'1" and was breaking records. And she had long-ass nails, and she painted her hair so that it looked like fire. She had a really urban accent and, like, flair to how she talked, and she was ruthless on her Twitter. I think she definitely got more infamy from this, but I think she was going to get famous because she could have easily gotten a gold medal. But
definitely.
Drew, you're saying that you only pretend to care about running every 4 years? Yeah. Duh. What are you complaining about for? Yeah. That means you only have to care about running every 4 years, and it's lit. It's a reason to drink. It's a reason to smoke weed, unless your name is Shikari Richardson. It's a reason to eat tacos. Because, well, you know, if you go to a party, there's probably tacos there, and guac, and Tostitos, and nachos, and why complain about the Olympics?
I get more excited over the Special Olympics, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's a show. I mean, I'm going to get some shit for this. Kind of like the black people's version of the Winter Olympics, because the Winter Olympics is nothing but see which white kid can get to the bottom of the hill the fastest.
Yeah.
That's all.
So you guys aren't sports people, is what I'm gathering. Like, no, you don't really have favorite teams. You don't care about energy. So you like sports, but don't like the real Olympics, sports, where it's the only time every sport has to do with rooting for your country, even if you don't your country that much.
Some of the dumbest sports in the Olympics, to be completely fair. Like, some of the dumbest sports you've never heard of, you just turn it on and people are, like, winning golds for, like, fucking dancing on a horse.
That's awesome.
If there were lions chasing the runners, I could get behind that.
Hey, Drew, can you dance on a horse, buddy?
There's a lot of things I can't do that I still wouldn't consider a sport.
Hey, Drew, people dancing on, I've ridden horses. I've ridden them. I've ridden those bitches. And they are hard to ride, let alone stand on, let alone these people doing backflips and stuff. Barrel racing is so friggin' intense, especially like when you're on the horse and you don't even need to watch it. The fact that you're watching these things sober enough to not like them is what's wrong with your Olympics viewing experience.
I am from Kentucky and I'm terrified of horses. They are tricky on both ends and dangerous in the middle. I mean, look, tricky in the middle and dangerous on both ends. That's what I'm going for. And I don't know. I've never been made to feel inadequate by an animal, but I got close enough to see a horse's wiener one time.
Watch the Mr. Hands video and you'll feel inadequate.
I don't even want to know what Mr. Hands is.
You don't remember that was like a super old video on the internet?
No. I'm going to have to check it out.
Keith, you don't know what Mr. Hands is?
It literally changed laws in Washington State. Like, it was legal for bestiality was legal before this video came out. It was a guy getting fucked by a horse and then he dies. And then they made bestiality illegal after this.
What did he think was going to happen?
I don't know, but it's the craziest video. It's traumatic.
If you're committing suicide.
I don't even know where you can find the video anymore. But what I've been wondering ever since that I started writing stand-up, you know, like a couple years back, maybe a month over 2 years now. And like, I got one of the first things that I thought of was Mr. Hands, which resulted in like, hey, what was like the first porn you ever watched? And I'm pretty sure mine was accidentally that.
Titanic.
Because, you know, it's like your friends are like, oh, have you not seen Mr. Hands yet? And anyways, point is.
No, actually, it was Basic Instinct.
It was somebody's instincts. We got some questions from the audience here.
I'm going to go ahead and get them before they get like, oh, we're being ignored. I got to hear from Toto.
Et moi, j'aime trop Shrek. Franchement, Starfall est génial.
No idea what you said, Toto. I hope your rap career goes great.
Dude, he just fucking sparked the sleeper spell.
Suddenly, I feel like I'm a Manchurian candidate. Let's see what Heather's got to say. Are you doing dishes still, Heather?
She's now going to be the girl famous for getting disqualified for smoking weed as opposed to winning a gold medal for the Olympics. I mean, either way, she's in history.
Turn
your Bluetooth off.
Before you interrupted me with the messages, because you weren't listening to me, probably. Huh?
I can't hear anyone but myself.
We got some background noise on somebody's thing. I think it's you, Drew. Are you driving?
No.
Are you next to an air conditioning machine?
Nope.
I'm throwing shit again.
Well, anyways, what I was going to say was that what's it like, you think, being the doctor, right? Because that dude was out with his friends, quote unquote, when he was having sex with the horse in Mr. Hands. And then he has to go to the hospital, and that's where he's declared dead. and dies, you know?
Yeah, so he didn't die from and the penetration right there.
Wife. This is what a lot of people don't know. The Mr. Hands guy had a wife. He was married. There's no way she signed off on this, right? This is a secret that you don't tell your wife. So he shows up to the hospital. He
this
dies
is a secret
in surgery.
You definitely don't do in front of your fucking friends.
But you'll film it.
How lovely
actually,
of a marriage
Mark, I think
was
this is
that?
Only something you can do in front of your friends.
He did this in front of his friends and the fucking camera.
Man,
yeah,
how loveless of a marriage do you have to be in to that's what you go to for like enjoyment? What a terrible woman.
Well, I don't know, Keith. Maybe his wife didn't have. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
didn't have a horse cock.
Yeah, her clit was a little too small.
What you're into is horse cock. You go for a horse cock, not vagina, bro.
All right. We're going to lose a lot of viewers on this, I'm sure. But the point is that like, if you're the doctor and you come out and you see the wife and the wife says, "What happened to my husband?" Do you tell her the truth?
Yeah, you just say he was impaled.
Yeah, as a doctor, you don't have to go into detail. You could just be like, he was rectally fucked.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I got to refer you to a specialist.
By God, if it wasn't a horse cock, I don't know what it was, ma'am.
Yeah, but, yeah, it looked like a horse dick. It was in his guts, but I could be wrong.
He could have sat on one of those barrier poles outside of a Target.
Yeah.
Or it might have been a horse dick. We don't know.
We're not
it's
sure.
Up to you if you want that part of the autopsy.
Yeah. We got HIPAA fucking laws that we got to follow.
Then, I think the most fucked up person in this entire story, besides the horse, is the guy who posted it after his boy died. Yo, y'all want to see some crazy shit out here? Like, what the fuck?
Yo, my boy is off the hook. Look what he did last night.
I can't believe I talked him into this shit.
Hold on. But what if it was like the dude had sex with the horse, right? Mr. Hands. By the way, everybody tuning in, we're talking about the video, Mr. Hands, and we're for another 2 minutes maximum, by the way. But
yeah, we'll drop this soon.
But if you
then we're moving to pickle jar guy.
No, we're not. We're not. This is not the sex. This is not the weird sex video episode, Keith.
So, anyways, two girls, one cup really changed my life.
Me too. Not for the better.
That one definitely showed me the world was not a place I would like to be a part of. I was like, holy
dark,
shit.
Dark corners.
I would like
to be honest.
If they were paid. Were they
that
paid
was a.
That?
That was a video that was circulating and everybody was talking about it. And even as a child, I literally had zero interest in watching that. I was like, I'm good. You guys explained it to me. I get what it would be looking like.
Yeah.
Like even as a young child, I was like, I think I'm good on that. Like
same. That was a
two girls, one cup definitely was over the line. That's why you watched Mr. Hands.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like I'm going back
Mr.
for more.
Hands is just like I could wrap my head around someone like eating a bunch of shit and vomit, but getting fucked by a horse, I could not. Like that's something I had to see for myself. I was like, this is purely scientific, but I got to figure out what's happening.
That is research.
That's a postcard from Tijuana.
Bobby Lee said that. You know what? I just thought that's a postcard from Tijuana. Why Tijuana?
I don't know. Bobby Lee's there.
That's a postcard from your neck of the woods.
Shout out to Bobby Lee.
Bobby.
Hey, Keith, do you want to... it seems like Mark's pretty much ingrained in the episode so far. Do you want to drop Blue? We love you, dude. And you want to give an official introduction of our special guest?
Yep, this is Drew Blue. You're going to have to say your last name. Oh, it's Sam Blass. Right.
Yep.
I
changed my Instagram to Drew the Comedian if anyone wants to check my shit out. He got some pretty good one-liners.
Yeah, he's an excellent writer when it comes to comedy and one-liners. He's very clean. I mean, very dirty. But very
I was like, what?
Writing style.
I've seen his shit.
I don't have 2 minutes of clean material. But I appreciate you guys having me on. I've checked Mark out since he like pretty much started comedy, and the motherfucker puts the work in, which is the most important part, especially at the beginning.
Cool, man.
Stage time. Keep getting that shit in.
For sure, Drew. Always a pleasure, man.
Later.
All right, Drew.
See you later. Terrible goodbyes, guys. terrible goodbyes.
Thank you so much for hanging in there, Drew. Thank you so much for being our first guest of the evening. And once Keith reconnects with his his Kentucky Wi-Fi, Keith,
I got an Obama phone.
Keith, give the introduction.
He got a cup and string attached to it.
Let me be clear. I got an Obama phone here.
We got all the presidents in today to interview. It's gonna be good, baby. Oh yeah, I got the saxophone on lock. We having a jazzy time or jizzy time, depending on where we are. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like Slick Willie.
Yeah. You hear the one time when the interviewer asked had extramarital affair, and he goes, "If I did, I wouldn't tell you." Damn, he's slick.
Well, I didn't inhale in that one either.
Yeah.
Paul, you want to get these questions and we'll get into it with Mark here?
Well, yeah. Do you have a bio for Mark?
I figured Mark had that taken care of.
My name's Mark. I do stand-up comedy.
Newark, Delaware.
And I've been doing comedy a little bit, probably a little less than a year. And I met Keith.
Is anybody else getting a message saying that stereo is temporarily unavailable because they're doing some awesome changes?
Yeah,
but it closes and we're good.
Yeah, hey stereo, no, you don't make the rules here. Just because it's your platform, you made it and you run it, doesn't mean that you make the rules. All right, let's keep going. Yeah, Mark, I've seen you just keep getting better and better on stage. Man, you've got it dialed in, man. Like, especially the last videos that I saw, like, you are tag, punch, and you're addressing the audience in the perfect fucking ways. Like, cool. You're drawing them all in. It's nice to see. I mean, like, I wasn't looking for it whenever I was watching those videos, and then it was just, like, so, it sticks out to me because, you know, I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I was like, oh, I had to DM you, and, like, fanboy.
You're no fanboy. We're boys.
We're men.
Yeah, we're men. Nah, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, obviously, doing stand-up comedy, you start to go through that shit where you're like, I'm like, I didn't know if I could do it. You know what I mean? I started to have those doubts. But very early on, it's like, dude, you're having doubts about something you've been doing for 2 months. Calm down. So
yeah, you know, it's like the first time flying an airplane, being like, oh, I'm a little bit unsure of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because bombing. Go ahead.
I feel like I don't know anything about Mark, but what I do appreciate is people are working harder at getting better at any craft whatsoever. Mark, if you're doing stand up, fuck yeah, that's awesome. We love you. We love having comedians on here because we're comedians. So I guess my first question, before we get into the hard-hitting, really important stuff, several regarding pigeons, why did you decide that if you got a good work ethic, stand-up comedy is what you want to try for?
Good question, especially starting comedy at 43, you know, trying to do stand-up. It's
wow! I thought the gray hair was a choice in the Avatar.
Richard Petty, baby. Number 43. God, I wish
it's a choice not to diet.
I mean, wait, Mark, you and I were talking about this earlier. You have a great answer for it.
I guess the gray hair is a choice. I mean, you could be dead. And technically, you could choose to die. So since you're not dead.
These are all choices that are made. Yeah, exactly.
So this is a conscious effort. I'm still alive just because of just tenacity and gumption.
Yep. It's been a question that's been asked a lot, like even by the other comics. Like, what do you do? Yeah, you're like, what does your wife think? I'm like, my wife's happy because she's tired of listening to me tell jokes. She don't like, you know, she's not into my sense of humor, so she's a hard person to bounce ideas off of, you know. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm gonna go see you, put my hat in the ring and see what I can do.
Also, she doesn't have a sense of humor. God,
no, she sucks. No, she does. It's just like she's so much different than I were. I share everything, Like my story, like the stories and the jokes that I talk about are very personal, very what people, yeah, I don't know if you should say that. I'm like, I'll say anything. Like, I'm not holding anything back.
Exactly. You can't really afford to, because that's what I think comedy is, just really opening yourself up and just bearing it all for everybody to see in just a funny way. Like the most fucked up aspects of your personality, and then just phrasing them in a palatable way to the audience, and
absolutely then
having them laugh with you instead of you just hating yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something that's therapeutic about doing comedy in front of people, because you can't be funny unless you're being real. And so what that comes down to, I mean, especially at first, stand-up comedians are always talking about personal stuff, unless you're a different type of person, because that's where you know that there is funny guaranteed. So you work on, you practice writing jokes on personal stuff, and you get deeper and deeper. Sometimes my first ever set was actually the dirtiest set that I ever did about me and my fiance's sex life. And yeah, and that, it murdered. His dad was there. His stepmom was there. Sister was there. Her fiance, or I'm sorry, her wife was there, and I didn't know all of them were coming. I just knew his dad was coming, but yeah. I decided to do sex jokes for his dad, which I thought would be hilarious just as a story. Murdered. But that was the first time I ever did good at stand-up, and that was when I realized, you know, personal stuff is a great place to start. And so it's cool that you're doing the same thing, where it's like you're starting talking about personal stuff, and it really is therapy. It makes you accept bad things about yourself, and or what to get better. It identifies issues in your personal life sometimes that you didn't necessarily know were there because you didn't try to pry into your own personal life.
Yep.
That's why I make all kinds of heroin jokes.
Yeah. Well, that's like one of the things I was talking about with you earlier, Keith, about like people believing it. And I got to the point where I was telling stories on stage with real no setups and punches, just funny stories. And I was like, that's great and all. And they'll walk away and go, yeah, that was a crazy ass story, but you're not going to get like laughs. You know what I mean? Like you need to get that punch to get the actual giggle while you're saying it, as opposed to that being like, that's a funny story I heard. You get what I mean?
Yeah, you have to have that turn.
Yeah.
Like, the piece of advice that I got on that that helped out a lot, which I'm sure you figured out already as well, but for anybody listening that's just starting out in stand-up and you want to be telling stories are fine, but every other sentence or every other like bit in a paragraph should be a punchline.
Certainly.
It should be a funny thing, even if you have to make it up, even if you have to be like, that's as if blank happened, that's like if this happened to this person. Anything is so every other sentence, try and make it a punchline if you can.
Yeah, you start to see that the flow of the story, and you go, okay, I'm walking into the house. What happened while walking in the house that makes that funny? You know what I mean? It's like you kind of figure out those formulas where you go, oh, that's how you craft the punch. You know, that's how you get that cutback where they go, oh shit, that's funny. You know what I mean? And they can't help but laugh. But it takes a little bit to learn
those tags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're new, and from what I hear from Keith, even before the podcast started, your stage presence has gotten much better. But especially before your stage presence is getting better, it's important to think, set a punchline in everything until you get a feel for what it's like being on stage and how to control the room's emotions. Like, say you want to bring them even further down before a different type of punchline. Like, say you want to say two or three sentences before a punchline. You need to learn how to do that before you do it. Because that's like, it's kind of like when you're writing, you have to learn the rules in order to break them. It's the same shit.
Certainly. And being able to recognize that is where it comes down. And then execution. There's some, you know, we're talking stand-up, so it excites me. But like, the energy of what you're doing on stage and your vibe and how you're putting it off. And if you're coming off, then you're just saying shit. You can say funny shit. People aren't going to laugh. It's how, it's like how you say it. And that's what I started getting to myself, was like, you're saying funny things, but only things that somebody would in their head is going, now that's funny. So like, and then I wasn't writing. I was just taking premises and getting on stage.
Well, tell them what you did at first. Like, you didn't have any inclination as to what you were like going to make the punchlines. You said you wanted to go up and just eat shit.
Eat shit. Yeah, I wanted to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I wanted to learn how, like, because that was the biggest thing I feared. Like, I would have nerves, and I'd be like, what the hell? I have all these nerves for what? What's going to happen? No one laughs? Oh, big fucking deal. You're only up there for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's only 5 minutes of your life. So go see what you can do. So I wouldn't suggest it for everyone. I think it was just for me. It was more of like an existential thing to kind of break barriers down and get my, like, persona right, like, figure out who the fuck I really am. Because I would get on stage, and like I said to you earlier, Keith, it's like, it was like a representation. Oh, yeah, I think maybe you even said that. It was like, hi, I'm Mark, and I'm here to tell jokes. It's like, no, you don't even talk like that. Like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, it's an over-exaggerated version of yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, oh, man, you just got to, like, embracing the suck is so important, I think, just to realize that, you know, the things that you think that people are going to carry home with them and think about for years, like, you're going to, like, you internalize the all the shit that you've done that's been embarrassing. Nobody else gives a shit past 2 minutes after that, usually.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, unless you super
fuck
up.
The most important thing about being yourself, it's maybe a slightly exaggerated version of yourself, and why it's so important to start with a good joke that gets laughs, is that when you start with a joke that gets laughs, when you go up on stage, all you open micers listening right now, like, if you start off with a joke that makes people laugh, it makes you feel cooler.
Yes.
It seems like a stupid thing to think, right? Because there's a lot of uncool people that do stand up, including myself. I'm not cool. But when you're on stage and you feel like you're accepted, when you feel like you're running shit, that is so important for how you sound. And that means that even if you have a joke written that might even be poorly written, you will still deliver that better than you would have.
You have to. I mean, because the audience doesn't know where the fuck you're going. You do. Yeah. You have to take them there. And that's what I've been seeing Mark doing. He is just directing the audience. And he's like a puppet master. It's cool. I mean, not to kiss ass or anything, but I mean, I recognize
talent. No, continue. I
please.
Completely.
Keep growing until you're the size of a horse.
See, it's like whenever I think that in the first 30 seconds, the most important thing is to let the audience know who you are.
Yes.
And relate to them.
Your ass is turning into kombucha.
Oh, God, I hate that shit.
But, Paul, I think you're absolutely right with that, because I would get up there and just start telling stories, right? And then I was like, you know what? I wasn't prolific in write. I wasn't even amateurish as far as like writing like a punch, like, or just a you know, one liner, set it up, cut it down. I wasn't good at that. So then I started doing that, and I would just get up and say a joke. Like, I think one of them was, you know why I love my wife so much? Because my wife says to me, hey, honey, you know, we're in the mood. You want to have a quickie? And I say, oh, isn't she fucking cute? Like, she had a choice in the matter.
It's like, you know, what is that? Oh, shit.
Like, she had a choice in the matter. Or my wife.
Stockholm Syndrome is funny. She thinks that she wants to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and then I would go into a story, but I think you're right, Paul, as far as like giving you that confidence to go, because the only thing the voice in my head isn't like, you're a bad motherfucker, get up there and make these kids laugh or make these people laugh. It's like, I get up there and go, nobody's gonna laugh. This shit ain't funny. This shit ain't gonna work. But then if you get the laugh, you go, all right, maybe I do have a sense of humor. Like, because everyone thinks they're funny. You know, everyone thinks that. Oh my God, I'm funny. It's like, you're not funny.
One of the most painful things to be around? Somebody is just so confident in their like humor that but they have none.
Yeah, so eager to be stupid.
Yes.
It's that the feeling of confidence you get from laughs and the overwhelming anger and anxiety and worry when you bomb, and every comedian bombs, literally all of them. I think that was a big inspiration for me, because I bombed. My first 19 times doing stand-up. I will always tell that story. I hope it inspires one person out there to not give a shit.
But
20th time on the dot, I did the sex jokes about me instead, and they murdered.
Yeah, if you bomb 20 times in a row.
Maybe I can write.
I'm pulling funny, Thompson real quick.
First 19 times, I was doing like, well, doesn't matter.
I was doing stories exactly like you. It's that personal growth where you get, like I was calling it, like a little light bulb. Not a huge one, but a little one where you can sit back on your heels a little bit and you can kind of get in the pocket. Because when then I started writing, and then I was just delivering script. You know what I mean? It was like there was no life to it. There were funny jokes in there, but if you read it like monotone or you're like, for me, I get a little bit nervous. I get speedy and I like rush and I don't give breaks for laughs and I don't, I'm not like, on, like not in the pocket, like feeling it. That's what I'm working on now, because now it's like I have the confidence to be funny and get into the story, but also be confident in silence.
That's what I was telling you earlier, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, you know, just to like let them laugh and just let ride that for a little bit. You know, just walk around, like look at them, and just make yourself a part of the audience while they're laughing. Laugh with them, and then go right back into the joke.
And I think that was a defense mechanism. Because if you tell the joke where you think the laugh break is and you're not hearing a laugh, then you just keep it moving. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But if you're not giving them room to laugh, you're just keeping it moving over their laugh. Like, so I have to learn to go, hey, there may not be a laugh here, but if you hear one, calm down, laugh with them, kind of look at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like
because
when somebody
you're
shows
writing,
you.
It's like when somebody shows you a YouTube video.
And hold on. They're like, this is hilarious. And like they push it in your face and you're like, oh, this shit ain't, you don't laugh at all. And then they keep like insisting on it. No, if like if they're not laughing to the point where you think that it's funny, then yeah, just like you said, keep moving like it was just another part of the story.
Yes. It wasn't like your big, I remember I have a story that ends and I thought it was it's killed 5 times and bombed 20, like the final line. And I always thought it was like the best I had written as far as like bringing back the story and bringing something back up, like drop type last line. And so many times I'd be standing up there and it'd be like silence. I'm like, that joke killed last time, you know? It must just be. And then I had somebody tell me, he's like, it didn't make sense. You're expecting too much intelligence of your audience. I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, so, yeah, that's well, we want to get to these questions real quick and get back the fucked up.
So,
okay, Heather, and we'll find out if she's still doing dishes.
Yes, I'm still doing dishes, Keith. Oh, still doing them dishes.
Well, thanks for listening all the time while you're doing dishes, Heather. Heather's been doing dishes for 11 days.
Yeah. Got a lot of dishes.
Yep, you would assume that she'd just stop eating at some point.
I don't know what it is.
We got paper Serge plates. Fouquet. Serge Fouquet.
Fouquet?
Yo, what's the name of that shit? So I can look it up on YouTube right now.
Mr. Hands.
That was like 20 minutes ago. Sorry that it took us so long to get to these. We're getting on it now.
But, there it goes.
Mr. Hands.
The name of it was Mr. Hands, dude. So, good luck. If you're still listening, bro, have at it.
Or Hands Death on. By Horse Dick or whatever, you know, some subset you can find on Reddit.
There's probably 1,000 also, videos of that.
I'm pretty sure it's MrHands.org. I think I just Googled it because I wanted to throw that out there. So now that's in the airwaves. And that's officially ear cancer if you hear that. You just heard the secret.
MrHands.puncturedorgans. I get it.
dot punctured organs dot blogspot
dot com. Yes. Gov.
Nothing.
You gotta have dot gov.
Why is it dot finance? Oh, because it's a crypto now.
Oh, I figured it would be dot gov because we're all getting fucked by the same dick, but
that's the
dot COVID-19 dot Gavin Newsom.
Oh God, Proud Boys, baby. Let's go to AJ. I like AJ.
So this question is from Mark. So, like, at what time did you find or develop your comedic voice?
Hmm. Have you heard him talk?
No. I feel like I was always funny. I was always the one that like could entertain around friends. And be an asshole and do dumb shit and, you know, whatever, and have people laughing and everybody walk away going, yeah, that was a good time. So I think I always had that idea. And I was a musician in my earlier life, in my 20s and 30s, and I toured and did all that. And I think this was just a different creative outlet where I was like, I'm kind of, you know, gray hair rock stars kind of, you know, you got to have the money before you get the gray hair. So I was like, you know, it's kind of done right with that. And I, you know, I was like, you know what? I think I have a voice. I think I have a comedic ideas of life. I see life in a funny way. And I was like, no, I was like, hey, man, you should get up and do stand up. I was like, you know, I just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, one of those things where you feel the calling or not. If you feel like, you know, I mean, it's you know, some people believe in God, some people believe in trauma. I think it's a combination of both, baby.
Absolutely.
That kind of gives you the calling to, because you think it's cool. You think the people on stage being able to do it is cool. The one man act is, and having it be funny. It seems like those people have something figured out, even if they don't, but like, that's what it feels like.
No, they're definitely the coolest to me, even being a musician and, you know, loving musicians. No one was cooler than Eddie Murphy to me growing up. Like, raw, delirious. These two specials just turned it to where I was like, and had people laughing, like,
just speaking.
Yeah.
Just some bullshit. It's like what you and I were talking about earlier. Like, a lot of people, whenever they watch musicians and stuff, they look at them like, oh, I could never do that. And then a lot of people look at stand-up comedians like, oh, yeah, I could do that. But
yeah, because it's standing. Yeah, like you said.
Well, actually, I think it's just all creatives. I think a lot of people look at musicians and think, I couldn't do that. But I think there's a lot of people that see it and get inspired to try. And I think there's a lot of people who do. You'd be surprised. I've talked to a lot of people who see stand-up comedy and be like, I could never do that. No way.
I learned how to play guitar just to, like, a skill set
that gives you, like, this innate belief in yourself in that category of life.
100%. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would say, I can't do stand-up. Not because they don't think they could do the jokes or they couldn't be funny, but just to have the fucking balls to do it kind of sets sets you apart.
You're naked up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is. Just laying yourself open.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the answer to that question is I'm still trying to find my comedic voice. You know,
The first thing you got a magnetism, and every comedian, they're magnetic types of people that they attract people to them, and they just gravitate to them because, you know, like Mark, we were talking about earlier again. Like, you know, you'd be at a party and you'd be the center of attention without even really intending to be. It's just like a reflex or, you know, I forgot the damn word.
No, but I know what you're saying. Like, you know, it's like when my aunt finally, you know, my aunt asked me, she said, you know, what made you do stand up? And then she goes, wait a minute. You've always kind of done that shit. Like, you've always just made us laugh and did dumb things and weren't. Here's the thing, and I try to explain this to my wife. I have a deficiency in being embarrassed. I don't feel embarrassment. I don't give a fuck. Like, and truly,
that's autism.
Yep. I can speak on that one. Yep, that's exactly what. Uniquely qualified.
I made a joke a long time ago that I think all stand-up comedians are on the spectrum because I think you have to be.
I agree. If that's the case, if that's the clinical.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, it's such an apt word for it because there's so many different types of comedians, but they all have the same, like, core qualities.
Yeah.
See, yeah, comedians, there's just something cool about being able to go on stage and say whatever you want.
Absolutely.
And nobody can stop you.
Yeah, and control people with just words and, like, even using silence as a tool.
You can.
It's really cool.
Sorry, I'm, like, reading some of these messages. I've never used this app before. There's, like, tons of stuff popping up.
It's okay. Well, we'll play the next one. This next one's coming from Robert Sacchitelli-Velez.
Well, I agree on, like, all of the topics you guys are hitting on because, in essence, like, comedy is truth. Steve Kaplan's The Hidden Tools of Comedy, like, he goes about, like, how comedy is, in essence, is truth. You're bearing your soul. You're bearing the truth that you can be human. And now the things that happens to humans on a normal day basis are hilarious.
And well, that's what, I actually agree with that a lot, just because anything can be funny, because if you keep it, so I used to talk about this a lot, and I remember trying to talk about it with my dad, and he refused to acknowledge it, and it was which is hilarious, because I don't think anybody wants to acknowledge these things. But the more that you think about life and like actually think about it, and I think this is why a lot of stand-up comedians are like big druggies sometimes, or like, you know, recovering addicts and stuff, because when you're doing drugs, you think about things in a different way. But in general, when you think about the world, and the more that you think about it, the more you start to realize how freaking insane this entire thing is.
The absurdity of it is
every single rule that we follow is made up by ourselves. All of them are weird.
How many neurotic tendencies do you have?
Waiting in line is funny because we invented that. Nothing fucking matters.
Yeah, I don't wait in line. I don't even, if there's nobody around, I don't even stop at red lights. I hate that ant mentality. Like, I think you just have to be like a keen observer and view things through an abstract scope.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the beauty of comedy, though, when you're on stage, you can get the audience to agree with you even if they don't agree.
You get what you I mean? Have like, to believe it.
They'll laugh. They're laughing at whatever it is, the humor of which you said. They could walk away and go, I don't agree with that, but that shit was funny, which is an agreement. You know what I mean? Like, that you can give them like that. And they're like, I never thought I would laugh about, you know, somebody getting blowjobs from a crackhead, but you can.
That's hilarious.
You know?
I mean, you're doing that's a service provided. You know, I don't care who gives a blowjob. That is a service that everybody, there should be a day devoted to people that get blowjobs every year.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's putting in the work.
That sounds like a really good July 21st.
Sounds like a
thing. Great, I agree. Like, it's in the
holidays. It sounds like a great time to get into Heather's next question.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, first of all, these dishes weren't that bad. I just got distracted a million times. But it's all good, though. All good.
I can never imagine her being distracted.
Nope. What? She's a Taurus.
Oh, well, she's a horse? What? I'm scared of horses.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's get into the wild round. How about that?
Let's do it. I got a question for both of you, or for everyone, actually.
I clicked a random royalty-free epic intro music from YouTube. Bam, delivered.
Nice.
Okay,
killed it.
I just straight up steal music.
First question for you, Mark. Welcome to Cross Examination. How much sawdust could you put in Rice Krispie treats before someone starts to notice? Go.
What the fuck? Shit.
A good half box?
What size box?
Half a box?
Half a box of sawdust? How big's the box? What's in the box, Mark?
The regular cereal box.
Shapes and sizes.
The cereal box.
Oh, you're saying you could go half and half on the Rice Krispie treats?
Damn, you're a salesman.
Damn.
I don't know if I could get any in there.
You think somebody would notice if you were making Rice Krispie treats? Bake them in an oven. Serve, and so like you still got the stickiness of the Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, you got the marshmallow.
If anybody saw me making Rice Krispie treats, they're getting away because they're like, something is up with Keith. So, I mean, that's my dead giveaway. Like, shit, I mean, make snacks.
Isn't grated Parmesan cheese sawdust?
Pretty much, depending on where you get it.
It looks
from.
Like it. That's funny. No,
no, I think they actually got busted for being like wood and shit. Like wood components.
I don't think that's still a thing.
I thought that was McDonald's, like, pink slime.
Sounds like something McDonald's would try and get away with. You know, I mean, they're just like, hey, fake milkshakes. Nobody's going to know. If you stir it, it gets cold. What's up with that?
Like, yeah, it looks like Subway has their fake tuna. You guys see that shit?
Oh, no. What?
What they took tuna fish from Subway to a lab, and there was nothing in it that was tuna-related.
Like, oh my god, this
is so fucked up. They don't even know
this
what
is
it is.
Actually, this is actually Moray Eel. How did you guys do this?
But at least that's something. They couldn't even identify the shit.
I would like some more Moray Eel. Now that I've said it, I have a taste for it. And
you said it. What did it come out? Yeah. Subway tuna didn't have tuna in it, and that was thank God, because I would never go to Subway and get a tuna fish sandwich. You freaking weirdo!
You earned it if you did. I mean, whatever you get from it, botulism, tuberculosis, AIDS.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom rung of society. It goes and get that says, hey, make me a tuna fish sandwich in front of me.
Look, I got that. Hey, man. I got that shit beat. I eat a crab cake sandwich from my daughter's softball concession stand.
I'm sorry. Part of that you cut out, and it sounded like you ate something from your daughter's throat, and I don't want to believe that's true.
No.
Like a mother bird.
I ate a crab cake sandwich at my daughter's softball game from the concession stand.
How hot was it outside?
Oh, it was hot as fuck. It was
terrible.
It was absolutely delicious. It was a crab cake. I don't know what it was.
By delicious, do you mean horrifying on your intestines?
It was just like fried bread, I guess, you know, basically. But yeah, my wife's like, what are you getting? I'm like, a crab cake. She's like, oh my God. I said, look, if they're going to sell them, I'm going to buy them. I'm stupid.
She's like, oh, I can't turn down a good advertisement.
Oh my God. I don't know. I feel like if you're ever getting tuna fish from anywhere that's not a can, or your mom's house, your mom's tuna fish is the only safe tuna fish.
No, fuck yeah, that. No.
And only if you're standing by a pool and there's also Lay's potato chips.
My mom goes to a food pantry. You ever eat a crab cake from a food pantry, you are in for it. My God.
That's imitation crab. What's in the imitation crab? Sawdust.
Imitating. There's no part of it that's even trying to imitate. It's like, hey, it might as well say, I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I'm not what I'm advertised as. I'm going to hurt you.
Okay, Keith, do you have another question?
I have real strong feelings towards tuna fish.
I hear that.
What is the most, for both of you or all of us, what is the most ridiculous fact that you know?
Interesting.
Like someone like me exists.
It's been a long time since I had to think of facts.
Oh, I got one. It may not be the most obscure or anything, but when I first started dating my wife, she didn't realize that I was a trivia buff. And so I bet her on a trivia question for oral. And the question was, and I just wanted, I was like a tester. And I said, what started World War I? And that she didn't know it. So I got hit. It was awesome.
It was a false flag.
The what?
What?
It was a false flag. Wasn't it? Was that it? Or was that Pearl Harbor?
The false flag? Are you talking about the South Park deep state conspiracy theory that Bush did 9/11?
Oh, no. I'm talking about whenever they sunk that ship. The USS Tan... Oh, fuck, I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Titanic?
The Lithuania.
Lithuania.
That was two. So anyway, one was the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, anybody named Ferdinand deserves it.
Who was killed by the Black Hand, which was the Italians.
What an oxymoron.
The Black Hand of Sicily.
Yep, which is just insane. That's like Hell's Eight. And they have nothing to do with the government, but that's like Hell's Angels like going and killing the president of Mexico. It's like, what?
It's like Hell's Angels taking up a Christmas donation.
That's like Hell's Angels killing Steve Tyler.
Steven Tyler is looking more and more like a middle-aged mother every day.
And I love it.
Middle-aged? That's
She looks like an elderly woman.
Yeah.
like a worn-in leather couch. How about that?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. A worn-in leather couch that was inspired by the Native Americans.
And it smells like hepatitis.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I think the most obscure thing that I know, it would have to be about a. I'm really bad at just contributing a brand new thing of a fact out of my brain. I'm trying to think. I mean, the only thing that keeps coming to my mind is because of my next question that I'm going to ask.
Well, that's fine.
Which is annoying, but I feel like, did you know, I don't.
I've done this 2 times in a row now, haven't I?
I'm trying to, I'm about to like Google topics to talk about and see what I know something about.
What do I know?
It's like, what do I know? Nothing.
I don't know what I know, dude.
That's when you start to find out what you know is when you begin with I know nothing.
Yep. I like that's very Paul. Socratic there, Keith. I didn't know you were into the ancients.
I am.
Yeah, well, Socrates turned down boy pussy too, so, you know.
Yeah. He didn't turn it down that often, though, apparently.
He turned that shit down. He started out his career with it, and then he's like, nope, not for me no more.
They killed him for it.
You gotta play, though. I mean, you gotta play. Oh, sorry.
His actual sentencing to death was for corrupting the youth.
But that had nothing to do with having sex with the youth, which is hysterical.
I know. Yeah. That was completely acceptable. They didn't like what he was saying to the youth, what he was doing to them. They're freaking fine with that.
Yeah, they were fine. They were fine with having sex with a 12-year-old boy. Yeah. You know, as long as you were going to teach him how to think. But God forbid you give him any strange ideas.
Yeah. Newton, he's like, maybe we're not the center of the universe. They're like, we'll fucking kill you if you keep on with that nonsense.
You say some shit like that again around the emperor, you're dead.
Really, we don't like that talk around here. While Paul's thinking of his fact, I want to say that mine is that Willem Dafoe had to have his dick CGI'd to be smaller because it made the other staff on the set of Jesus Christ movie.
Jesus Christ Superstar?
The Passion of the Christ. The first one, I guess. Made the staff uncomfortable, and that bothers me because if Jesus was real, dude, you know, I'd like to think he was packing dong. Like,
hell,
you know,
yeah.
His DMBs were the first Holy Trinity. Like,
yeah. But
if you're gay or a straight woman and you never fantasized about Jesus on that cross, you're a loony.
You're really into BDSM.
You're a terrible carpenter. Like a tennis player in his prime.
He's got a great physique on there, you know.
Yeah,
he looks like a goddamn swim instructor.
Kurt Cobain, pretty much more like Kurt Cobain than Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of a carpenter gets himself nailed to a cross? How bad at your job do you have to?
That's fucked up.
Do you think that's irony? Do you think when they were coming up with the Bible, they like did that as foreshadowing that he was into carpentry? Do you think that was like a joke? Did you think that they thought that was funny?
Yeah, that's their Easter egg. Like, do you think anyone's going to get this? Do you think they're going to get it?
Like, do you get it? He's a carpenter. He died on wood. High five.
Yeah, exactly. Just elbow bumping the guy next to him like, hey.
What was that that Eric said? He was talking about the guy that the street magic performer on one of the last ones, and he said he puts a nail through his forehead, and we were trying to figure out what his occupation would be, and I said carpenter, and then he came in with, yeah, no, he's head carpenter. And I was like, fuck, that's good.
Well, how about this? Did you know that I've read the Bible 4 times, and they only mention how much they don't like gay people about twice. But they mention that you really shouldn't eat shellfish close to a dozen times.
Jeez.
Yeah, you don't eat them fucking shrimp, buddy.
I had this epiphany the other day with the Bible that in the Ten Commandments, it does not say thou shalt not rape.
Oh,
they'd rather you not, you don't covet your fucking neighbor's goat, but you can go ahead and rape anyone you see.
Yeah, especially if God decrees it. He's like, listen, sorry, buddy, but I ain't been believing that much in me lately, so we're going to have to run through some daughters.
Yeah, the 2,000 years ago was a fun time to be a bad
like everything,
man.
It was like a really poor fraternity.
Yeah, it's just weird to think that when they were sitting around, is like, I feel like that would be like one of my top three. Like, do not murder. That's not rape. That's not, you know, steal.
Just don't be a dick. Yeah. That's the whole Bible encapsulated. I just gave you a sociology degree if I had that sometimes people are assholes.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, we got another message. Let's play Heather's. Shout out to Heather Lilly, tuning into all the episodes. Your fan favorite, because you're one of our favorite.
He totally got it all right. He got nailed.
Hey.
Double entendre crossed.
He did get nailed. And
another
she
one
nailed
bites it.
Another one bites the dog. Another one bites the Christ.
Oh. Oh, one, send another one drinks. All we're gonna shit out Jesus. Hey.
You know what I like is that we're like these are God given laws. Who wrote them?
You're gonna hang by me. Another one hangs a Christ.
roughly a dozen people.
Yeah, I mean, they say God. It's like the Joseph, you know, from Mormon. What was it?
Joseph Smith.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I got these fucking plates, guys. Nobody but else can read them.
Yeah, but he's like, shit, I dropped them.
Now they're dirty. I gotta go clean them.
I dropped them
out.
Can't even find
now. I've got this joke premise that starts out as like cavemen inventing God. One of them has seen lightning strike before, the other one hasn't, and they see it strike a tree, and the other one is completely losing his fucking mind, and the other one pretty much is too, but he's seen it before, and he's like, the one hasn't seen it, he's like, what the hell was that? Oh my God. And then the second one gets a little bit of an idea. He's like, oh, you've never seen that before? He's like, no! He's like, I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, how'd you do that? I don't know. I got this guy that I talk to. I can hear him, and he only talks to me. But if you give me a little bit of money.
But I got you. I got you. Yeah, we're good.
I have an old joke about how money was the first person that invented money. Was the biggest scumbag in his town.
Definitely.
What's the oldest profession? The oldest professions are farming and prostitution.
Yeah.
So he's a farmer, business. And it involves a prostitute, and he's really lazy. And he didn't get any crop that day, but he really wanted to have a prostitute. So he's like, I'll pay you after we're done. She's like, okay. They have sex. Afterwards, he's like, where's my money? And he gives her a rock. She's like, that's not the rice that you said you were going to give me for this. That's not what I want. And, No. See, this rock, I want you to tell everybody this. And tell as many people as you can to hold me accountable.
This rock is rare. Yeah.
And it's a promise that I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you rice.
This is a solid.
And she's like, nobody's going to believe that. And it's like, okay, how about I put my face on it?
Yeah. I'll pour some little letters.
So he puts
into
his face on it in a one. And he's like, all right, this is rice. Just I'm gonna have it in a week. Just like, you know, tell and make sure to tell everybody this is rice. So she comes back in a week. He's long gone. And so she just starts murdering people with the rock to get rice.
Well, she's actually just starved to death. Nice. You know.
How horny that damn, you know, farmer was. He was like, man, I've been fucking cows and goats and sheep.
He's like, my God, sometimes you just can't plow enough.
Yeah, you're like, I gotta find me a woman. I'm gonna have to pay her though.
And screw that, because money isn't real until you make it real.
That's great.
And it wasn't real until she started murdering people with it just to get rice. So it was the threat of rice, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. If you put a value on it.
I got another question. And we only have time for maybe like one more each, Keith.
Enough blasphemy.
Mark, you've been awesome. Everybody, if you could share this podcast, if you hit that share button right there, we'll know. Please. Because a little like share thing pops up when you do it. Hit copy link. You know, that helps the algorithm, more people find us and stuff. So
I'm not above groveling.
Definitely support my boys. These guys are killing it, man. They're doing their comedy thing. They're getting it together. Keith's like the pimpinest comedian I've met on Instagram. My man knows everyone. Paul, killing it. It's good shit.
It's just my shirts, man.
What's that?
Gotta try a little brown nose in.
I just gotta wear some more floral patterns.
All right, Starfalla, Starboy. We will not play all these, but we're gonna play one of them, and see where it goes from there on the train. Okay.
Hello, what's up? I am French, and
bonjour.
And it's good to be French. I like the French, and. Cobaladouille. I am douching me, but are you washing your head?
Yeah, I speak what? Fluent French, and to respond, babagouille.
Babagouille. I like the people in the background just laughing.
Je m'appelle Paul. Je ne suis pas fluent en français, mais je parle un peu.
Voulez-vous coucher avec fuck me?
J'ai un doigt. Pardon. Baba Gooey!
Baba Gooey!
Baba Gooey!
Oh, it's a Baba Gooey!
Yeah, what's it's not even racist if we don't know what it means, right? You know, I think that we got the entire region of the world wrong, but do we know that? I don't.
I'm going to read the transcript of this first, and then we're going to see what it actually says. Because I didn't mean movie is on the spaghetti of Matthew City, but the news really. Of Tickle is it's me at home because you will do with the key of the door of the view of the house. That's what the freaking, that's what,
that's what the ramblings. That's the ramblings of a madman.
Damn right.
That's in what French. Phil Cosby said the day he got out. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's scrawled on a wall somewhere with human fingernails.
That was a clue on where the Holy Grail was in a Monty Python movie.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. I thought that was Angels and Demons.
I thought it was a message left in the bottle of the lotion in the fucking Silence of the Lambs.
Actually, you're all wrong. It was Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Let's see what it actually is, and this is the last one that we'll play from the Star Palace.
Because I tell me Mowgli is on the spaghetti of Mafia City.
Monsieur Petit.
But
Baba.
The nose
oui.
Of Tigrou
is what
on my
fuck?
Arm.
Are you? I can't stop.
Because
I think
you...
Okay.
I think that he was wording out like single words phonetically on every syllable.
Yeah.
I like that because
he definitely wasn't in France. France has the internet, so at the very least, he could have Google translated it and just read the words and tried to sound out the best that he could. This is like some dude in Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah,
got this some is Harlem. Ivory Coast French.
This guy made no French to the sound internet. Shitty. Yeah.
French, he's in a French restaurant in Harlem.
Yeah, French used to be like a beautiful language. Now that shit sounds like shit.
I just, everything said with a French accent smells like a cigarette to me when I hear it.
You smoke cigarettes. It must be delicious.
I like it. Give me a French girl, Paul.
Keith, I came up with something like I came to mind today. I said, you know what, Keith is what meth would be if it had a sense of humor.
Right? I'm hilarious and addictive. And Paul will take your teeth at nighttime because his homeless Bobby, yeah, he gets his dentures one tooth at a time. We're a dynamic duo.
I like that. I watched that today. That was good.
Yeah, homeless Canadian Bobby is not. Wait, did you see the skit that I posted today?
Yeah, I did. That's good.
It's pure.
What do you think about it?
I like it.
Honest review. This is a safe space.
No, it was good. Good. I like the ideas of what you're hashing out with the fellas.
Can we be honest? Yeah, Derek looked more homeless than Bobby,
which was hysterical. I didn't even think of that, but he did kind of. Oh god. Yeah.
So Paul, did you guys write that out? Was there a bunch of improv, or was it just
we had a bunch of stuff written, but somebody didn't memorize their lines, so it ended up being a lot of improv.
Okay. I say Paul.
And yeah, I'm not going to say who it was. Even if it was me, I'm just not going to say it was. But there ended up being a lot of improv, and so it ended up going awry. But we figured when I was editing it, we actually lost a lot of footage. And so we weren't going to do it again. And one of us moved to Chicago, John. So we couldn't reshoot it. So I'm like, I'm not going to put this to bed. So I'm going to try and figure out some sort of timeline that's going to, some sort of plot that's going to work. And so all we really had were the interactions between the cops doing those two little scenes. And me rolling a cigarette with feta cheese. And so I'm like, we're doing the feta cheese thing then. That was going to get scrapped, but I'm going to edit it so it's hilarious.
I'll find something.
That's one of the most nonsensical things I've heard today. You can't, something in Chicago can't be reshot. But I got to read his transcripts here. Starfalla. Does he learn to see, says it, is it, and to season it. And in my tooth is so cross. When is the dude is on the bus? Can you help me? Because I'm trying to learn English, but I'm not very good use it. Oh, sorry for this song. It is the meeting go command double two and ten ting bomb. Continue giving up. Continue giving up is a, my favorite oxymoron. I love you.
But he's able to
get a really good one.
He's actually saying shit.
This is a really good one. I am icy pulling through boiler bubbly person.
Baba gooey, bubbly person.
I want to know what that one says.
Icy pull. Show ball handed that down. Bubbly pull.
Did I hear it? I'm looking for it, so of course I'm going to hear it.
Okay, we just hit 20 messages, and they're all from Starfalla trying to be part of the conversation. We love you, dude. We unfortunately can't know. We don't know what you're saying. Good luck in the World Cup, as I say to every European country. And
hey, buddy, if you want to know English, holler at me, buddy, because I can speak all kinds of English.
Yeah, and he means a real goddamn holler, too.
I know words and such.
Do you live in a holler? Do you live in a holler, Keith?
I click my heels together three times, motherfucker, and I'm back in the holler.
Nice.
Or Val holler?
No.
Are you just saying Valhalla with a southern accent? Well, welcome to Val holler.
No, I'm saying the holler because anybody that says hollow doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, and I'm new.
Is it real that they say you guys live in a holler because you can holler to each other through the valleys in the motherfucking...
Oh, yeah, I'm loud as shit, bud.
You can, like, hear each other talk through the valley?
I can scream at somebody through the valleys or, like, directly into their base, and, you know...
Which is crazy because that's what a phone is.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that shit's for? I was terrified of myself now.
Keep and yelling at a phone.
Well, shit, I've just been screaming at the old paper towel rollers.
Yeah. I've been screaming at this glass of beer for 4 months.
It's talked back, but I haven't liked anything it's had to say.
Right. It's like Toby Keith.
Okay. Let's say one more question. Keith, I think it's you.
Yeah, okay. Mark, what does it feel like? I mean, has anybody ever told you that you look like, you know, kind of like a white Louis C.K. if he were a nice guy?
Huh? Nah, I haven't heard that one. I mean, I've heard that I do things like Louis C.K., like jerk off in front of people, but like, I don't know if I look like him.
We've all done it, but we've never done it without like somebody who works underneath us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's so fucked up.
I'm not busting nuts on my belly in front of my secretary. Like, hey, lady, check this out.
If I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired. Like, I'm going to jerk off in front of somebody with some authority. I'm going to get fired or...
Yeah. Jesus. You don't want to jack off in front of somebody who's underneath you. You absolutely want to do it in front of your boss.
Yeah. If you're going to impress somebody, I mean, if you're going to try, you know, if that's the play you're going for, you gotta ride it out, you know.
Because one's so, abusing your
go
power.
Go big or go home, you know.
Don't yeah, busy.
Exactly. One of these is abusing your power, and the other one is a power move.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I do it, it's not even offensive. Like, I was born, and nobody told me that I had to choose hands, so I just picked both of them. I'm like, okay, so you just use both of them. I'm ambidextrous. I can switch hands and gain 3 strokes. Nobody knows mine like me.
Keith's sexy masturbating in front of people.
He's like, and put the master in it.
He's talking shit to himself, trying to warm himself up.
Yeah, I don't even like jacking off in front of myself.
Yeah. All shameful.
I think the reason why people aren't good at things is that they don't have the desire to do other things like they do masturbation. You know, because like think about the rule of 10,000 hours, the law of 10,000 hours or whatever. If you do something for 10,000 hours, you become a master at it. Well, if you're in your 30s and you're a man, you actually might be coming close to that number.
Yeah, you're right under grandmaster. Depending on your teen years, you know what I mean?
You're a wizard.
And if you had the urge to do literally anything else for, you know, like, you know, you masturbate for what? Anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes. If it's a really fun day and you're home alone, 30. Like,
shit, five and 15 times.
That's not. Please tell me those were heroin numbers and not regular numbers.
No, it hurts.
It hurts.
I don't even like what I'm doing by like the 7th time, but I'm not a quitter.
You know what?
Went from a polished wand to a callous street card.
I wasn't in the mirror. Why does
I wasn't circumcised when I began. Now I
am. I burned that all.
I got a 3 skin now instead of a 4 skin.
I need some help. What'd you do? I masturbated so long I started a fire. Okay, we gotta do a final. That was a comment, not really a question. So I'm gonna leave him on a question. we're like, hey, do you have any questions left? And you're like, I got crowd work.
I got, exactly.
Oh, masturbation.
Hey, do you have an hour yet? Do you have a half hour of jokes? I got 15 and I can fuck with people.
Yeah. Crowd looking pretty ugly tonight. We're good.
All right. Here's a good one. Would you cannibalize someone to survive on a stranded island knowing that there's a 25% chance of rescue and survival if you eat the corpse. But if you don't eat it, guaranteed death. So there's only a 25% chance that you survive if you cannibalize the dude. If you kill and cannibalize somebody.
Is that even a question?
But you get that 25%. But if you don't do anything, it's zero. What do you do?
I'm eating.
Yeah, Mark's name looks like, his last name looks like Gobble already. So.
Bro was named on Thanksgiving Day.
It's Giobbe. It's Giobbe. It's Italian. We don't know nothing about no fucking gobble.
Mambo Giobbe. God. Oh, we have dwindled this audience down to the true believers. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to our rantings.
Damn right.
I'm terrible at goodbyes.
It's not goodbye. Just till next time.
You should always tell me goodbye because, man, I'm alive in spite of myself. So my luck's got to run out one of these days. I don't know when.
And shout out to Keith Burr, by the way. He's inching in on 4,000 followers. We're all super proud of him. That's awesome. I can't wait till the day that you do. It's got to be coming this weekend. Mark Giobbe, everybody. Make sure that you're following him on Instagram at Mark Giobbe, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And is there anything else you want to plug?
I got. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
My wife, but I'm not gonna do that here. So.
Hey. Got nothing going on. What so fucking ever, everybody?
Yeah, man.
Make sure you follow him on Instagram. Follow the journey.
I'm completely he's open.
He's gotten so much better at stand up. Everybody says so. He's a great guy. And
I gotta say, also follow Andrew. You know, Drew the Comedian is his handle on Instagram. And you can, if you're a joke writer, you can see how to really streamline a joke. You can really cut the fat off of them.
Yep.
It's Drew the Comedian?
Yep. Drew the Comedian. I love it. So simple. I can't believe it wasn't taken. I was like, are you afraid you're going to be mistaken for Drew Carey? He's like, Bro, I'm Spanish and skinny. No, like, all right.
Yeah, good, and he told me if Drew Carey did the kind of jokes he would be, he would not be on. What the fuck is Drew Carey doing? What's he host now?
I think he lives under the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Why
he's the hunchback.
We gotta close this. We gotta close. Why does he live under the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame specifically?
Cleveland sucks.
I got you.
Hey. All right, thank you so much, Gio. I hope you have an awesome
thank
rest
you very
of your day.
Much.
Let's hook up and collab on something.
Definitely, without a doubt.
For sure. Sounds good. Yeah. All right, guys. I'm outie.
All right, y'all.
And I'm an innie.
Easy.
Innie and outie. He's a
hey,
double threat.
Hey, just end on a fucking hack joke, Paul. What the fuck are you doing?
That's okay, I finished. He's a double threat. An innie and an outie. God's perfect.
Yep, mistake. No. Pitching and catching. I got it. All right, Keith.